It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, from here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA Beautiful Studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com here at the farm. What we got? Do you got kids? We got chickens. We got chickens. We got goats. We got a garden. We're getting it. We're getting ready. Yeah, and we just, a lot of it is just information. Well, somebody has already made the move. Chuck Baldwin. Chuck Baldwin was a presidential candidate for the Constitution Party. He's a pastor in Florida, and he picked up and moved to Flathead Valley in northwestern Montana. So now we're there. You know what's coming. Anybody listening to the show, we know what we think, certainly what I think's coming. It's going to be economic turmoil. And if you're in a place to where you can just kind of hunker down and just survive this thing, it's better than not. But there's some people that just aren't going to, hunker down. They just can't. They just can't. And guys like Chuck Baldwin, because, as I described in the half hour before you came on, I just call you Chuck. I hope you don't mind, because I've known you. Most people refer to you as Pastor Baldwin.
Chuck is fine, Ernest.
We have a gentleman of God that's gone to Montana, and he's now in a position to where he has to make a decision. And I kind of give it from your sermons, I get the idea that you're of the mind that, the Revolutionary War really was fed with an ideology that came from the pulpit. And you're trying to resurrect that passion, and that comes up against the big bad boys don't like that none too much. So tell me about what kind of opposition you're getting to the idea of the possibility of you putting your name up as a candidate for governor of Montana.
Well, I got to tell you, the opposition has come mostly from within the church. I think that a lot of the pastors and Christians today have become as much the enemy to freedom as anything else is. I can tell you categorically that the great majority of opposition that I have received in my family has come from within the church. Now, obviously, there are those as you call them, the powers that be, that are not happy that freedom-loving people, are gaining momentum and strength. Our fellowship here is just a little over 6 months old, and we're already having anywhere from 150 to 200 people come every Sunday, and we're growing, and people are moving here from all over the country. I couldn't tell you how many scores of people have already moved here from other places. And they're still coming. Every Sunday we have people that are here from outside of Montana visiting and scoping out the land and looking at real estate and trying to figure out how they're going to get here. I mean, this has just been going on ever since we got here. This is a movement that's not just with us. This thing, I believe God is putting in the hearts of people all over America that they need to go somewhere. And a lot of them are coming here. So this is really, really a growth thing. And yeah, we got people here that are skeptical of that. There's some people here that are skeptical of outsiders and that's normal. I can deal with that. By the way, you mentioned the SPLC. We got an SPLC representative in town this week snooping around trying to get quotations from people so they can put something in their you know, in their writings.
Well, they already had the quotes. They just wanted to know who to attribute them to.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. But, yeah, you know, I was at the top of their list, as you know, here a few months ago. So no big deal. But, you know, yeah.
And you're talking about the Southern Poverty Law Center. And the one thing, the articles that they did, and this is how they've operated, you know, since I've known of them forever. And it goes like this. You know, we got trouble right here in River City, and it's spelled with a M, stands for militia, you know, or it's a, anyone that would, I asked Heidi Byrick, she's the director of special plans or projects or whatever, and I've had her on my show a few times. Amazingly, she came back not just once, at least twice, and I asked him, with all the people that were on the Patriot list, including yourself and Dr. Paul and Stuart Rhodes and Sheriff Mack and Gary Franchi and Catherine Bleich and John Statman, I mean, on and on and on, you know, Bob Schultz. I mean, I'm like, man, that's the list I want to be. How come I can't get on that list, man? What's going on? And she said two things at two separate times she answered. And she said, one, because we know you want to be on, and two, we don't put libertarians on the list. And I'm like, you know, I didn't even understand what that meant, but They go through a community that they're targeting, and it's kind of a law enforcement. They're kind of the spearhead for here comes some kind of Department of Justice thing. I've gone through this with them, and if they're targeting, you know, that area or you are associating with, and we got skinhead supremacists, whatever, they're doing all this kind of stuff, it's because they got a plan. They're just the beginning of a PR campaign for what they already got planned. And I'm telling you, they're setting you up for something, and you just got to be careful.
Oh, yeah, I believe that. Well, when they say they don't put libertarians on the list, then what is Ron Paul doing on the list?
Well, he's Republican.
Yeah, okay.
As far as they know.
Well, the bottom line is that most of the opposition has come from within the church, and I think that's where our biggest problem is. I really think that we have got to start thinking outside the box. We've got to start acting outside the box. And obviously, whenever we move 2,600 miles from a place that we called home for 35 years, where all of my children were born and raised, and the only home that they had ever known, and come to a place, you know, 2,600 miles away, to a part of the country we've never lived in, and, you know, places that were completely foreign to us, but because of a burning desire for freedom and liberty in our hearts, and the feeling that this is where we believe we could be best used and best positioned in order to be a part of this freedom message. And then the church reacts with such negativity and disdain.
Now, when you say the church, who are you talking about? I mean, your church, church down the street, the church in general, the 501c3 IRS list? I mean, what are you talking about?
Yes, all of the above, all of the above. The 501c3 tax-exempt status is a monster that has silenced the vast majority of churches and preachers today. It is absolutely a curse. And until people start recognizing that their church, by virtue of its silence, is a part of the reason we're losing our liberties, we're never going to regain our liberties. Christian pulpits of the colonial America period were the ones that led the fight for freedom and independence. Without them, we would not be a free, sovereign country today.
Well, you can understand the motivation. You can understand the motivation why IRS wanted to get them under their thumb then.
Well, yeah, that was Lyndon Johnson's creation back in 1954. And he wanted to silence the pulpits of Texas, and he did a pretty good job. And it went nationwide with the 501c3 tax-exempt status. But the problem is that the churches today are just as much a part of the problem as anybody else. They're into money. They're into prosperity. They're into political correctness. Pastors are not preachers. They are CEOs. And until we get Christians to start realizing that we as believers have an obligation to declare this freedom message to our country, take a stand for it personally, we're never going to see the restoration of freedom in our land.
Well, I'm rooting for you, man. You know, we're watching because I we need to see how this happens. And you know me, I'm like, you're still voting? I mean, you know, I just wow. You know, how bad has it got to get? Well, I just want you to know that we're paying attention, and I'm glad that you were able to come on today. And God be with you, man. You know, you go give them what for, and we'll make sure that. you on Freedom's Phoenix. Our readers, listeners, all know what's happening. Stay right there, Chuck. I want to talk to you for a little bit. Oh, go ahead and hold on for a second. I want to talk to you after the break. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Declare your independence. Yeah, I'm going to be getting out of the saddle, certainly in this format, for a little while. We'll probably be taking next week off. I'm still trying to get hold of Mark Edge. I know he's doing triple duty while he's got Ian Freeman in jail. He's sitting in jail. But I was hearing from Nick. He's saying that he still, every now and then, he gets to come on for a little bit each week. And, you know, it's good to know that, you know, he's still getting to have his voice, man. I'm definitely, I'll do a special podcast, you know, just so I get to talk to Ian on the show so that we can share that with everyone, his perspective after doing time with the man. So we'll go ahead and talk about that. We got to do a special show with Adam Kokesh. I think what is going to come out of this is he's going to continue doing Adam versus the Man, create his own studio out of New York City, Brooklyn there somewhere. He's kind of working this out. He got his stipend and all setting up from the separation with RT, and he's going to be able to do as good or better on his own terms, the way he wants, on the news every day. So I'm looking forward to that. So we're going to be setting up by next Thursday. Nick Barnett is going to be, or whatever name he goes by. Sorry, Nick. he's going to be here Thursday setting up a bunch of different shows and what they're going to do, because we want to feature everybody. And that's really what the site was set up, and the radio studio and everything was not so much for me. I did my bit. You know, I mean, if you listen to the show for a while, you know, it's like, okay, I get it. I heard that before. The only thing that we do is we have a lot of different guests that we kind of spike them. You know, I'll have some, you know, big time guests. I mean, we've been live from Yemen, live from Saudi Arabia. We're in Afghanistan, Iraq, Egypt, you know, Yemen. I mean, it's just, we have them on the radio and do it, what, give them what for. And we have all of the progressives out there and a lot of big names that we're just making sure that they know our opinion. So that's really the big motivation behind doing it, because I know a lot of you guys know, and of course it's good, you know, I guess, education to see how you can go up against the most commie, socialist, progressive, whatever, and have a pleasant conversation with them, make your point. You don't have to convince them. You just have to make sure they understand why you're so convinced. You can do that, you win. Government will cattle drive them with cattle prods and tasers, they're interchangeable, you know, glow sticks or whatever, you know, and get them coming your way anyway. So if you know that's going to happen, you know, just wait and let it happen. Just let them know where the light is. Hey, you know, Lady Liberty's torch is over here. And when it goes out, boom, Freedom's Phoenix, the rebirth of freedom from Lady Liberty's torch. That is what that that logo means right there. Lady Liberty's torch, rebirth of freedom, boom. So we, with this idea in mind, and we started doing the digital magazine, you know, it's, you know, what kind of artwork are we going to have? And whatever I have, it's building up to a lot of things. It's almost like a graphic novel. So who does graphic novels? Scott Beezer. Scott Beezer does, he could do album covers. They don't have album covers anymore. But he does book covers, novel covers and stuff for L. Neil Smith. L. Neil Smith has got an article in this edition of the E-Zine 2. And then I just got communication from Larkin Rose. He didn't think he was going to be able to make the deadline. No, he didn't, but we're going to hold off for a little bit, make sure we get our Larkin Rose piece in today also. Sierra's like, ooh, my last day. I knew you'd do this to me. You know, so then Chuck Baldwin could, if we had to go, no, we can't. We can't. No, Sierra will hit me. So, and today's my oldest daughter's birthday. Rhea Nicole, hello. Happy birthday, baby. Now, I wanted to go ahead and go through the covers. Now, let me go ahead and do this. For those on YouTube, you can see this. This was the first cover, and it was inspired to kind of, you know, a silhouette, sun, you know, thing that I'd seen before. And it just gave me this idea to do this, cutting through the barbed wire. And for those of you that are able to go look at the, which segment would this be? This would be the second in the second hour, so segment 6 on YouTube for today, which is September 2nd, my daughter's birthday. 2011, and you see the covers. Now, you go to freedomsphoenix.com, and you'll see the magazine promotional ad. It's kind of a rust color in the top right of freedomsphoenix.com. You click on that, and you'll see all of the album covers, or the e-zine covers, the magazine cover. Now, this was, I love this cover. We spent a lot of time on just, I mean, the girl, I mean, how big, you know, how tiny is her waist? How large are her breasts? Well, how wide are her hips? I mean, it was just a big, giant debate. And we had, I'll tell you a story. We had, the breast size was set at a certain, you know, it's in silhouette, but we had the breast size set. And then Scott Beiser kind of did another version. He increased it a little bit. And then Megan from Silver Circle goes, "Hey, man, seriously?" And I looked at it and I go, "Hey, that's not the one that we had before." I go, "Scott, man, you got to tone that down just a little bit." He goes, "Dad, I thought nobody'd notice." Well, the women did. You know, so I'm going, okay. So this is where we wanted to go with it. And it is a, you know, freeing. Which side of the barbed wire is she on? Is she on the inside breaking out? Or is she breaking out people on the end or people out? I mean, you know, it's a very good cover. First edition, you need to go see it. Second edition, we did homage to the activist. The first edition was about libertarian philosophy, and we had 85 pages just chock full of stuff. I mean, it was the big boys. Everybody wrote for that one, and we had over 30 authors, and it was just amazing the positions that we took. You know, it's a hardcore anarchist. I mean, even Dr. Paul was in there, and of course, he was advocating talking about the budget, but it was a hardcore, got a dose of what our philosophy is. Then we have the next edition for July is the 4th of July edition, and it's Thomas Jefferson dancing with our heroine at the Jefferson Memorial. So that was in reference to Adam Kokesh's event at the Thomas Jefferson Memorial. Thought that was cool. That came out really nice. Scott Beiser's got so much talent. Then the third edition, first one was philosophy. Second one was activism, you know, the implementation of that philosophy. The third one is just surviving. And we have it's in the future a little bit. It's our heroine is out there in the sunset plowing the field. Now, the machine that she's using, you'll see that we featured, is from Open Source Ecology, is a group in Missouri that is using open source mentality, not just for software and ideas, but for hardware. Having interchangeable modules and parts, like it's like WordPress for farm equipment. So that's what they're working on. So we gave a reference to them. I thought that was kind of cool. Then this is this month. Now, this is Raising Generation Next. And I really like this cover. And again, you know, Scott did a great job. And this is the low-res version of it. But it shows you that we have it. Imagine San Francisco and the Bay. Instead of the Golden Gate Bridge, you have a bridge. Now, I got this idea from Paulo Soleri. He's an architect, that anytime you have a big public structure like this, you might as well make, you know, some kind of living quarters or dual function or use of. So if you got this big, giant, monster bridge thing, well, heck, you got all this traffic, you might as well just make it a horizontal high-rise, you know, have, you know, all kinds of stuff. So what we did is we have heavier-than-air dirigibles, blimps. You know, this is, you know, in reference to a lot of the novels of L. Neil Smith, he always saw the future was going to be to where you traveled this way. So we have it as a docking station for dirigibles. You have, in reference to the seasteading, you have ships that are out in floating cities that you have all kinds of, and we have spaceships being launched, just like spaceship, I mean, and then the children and our heroine are on the ridge in silhouette overlooking all this with their tablets of education. Raising Generation Next.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, because I like the song and I can. Because I can. Well, you know, it's been great spending time with you guys and us working on, you know, just understanding what's going on. And hopefully I provided some entertainment for y'all and you've gotten to guess. But, you're really going to get something different, I think. We're probably not going to start because it's Labor Day week. this next week. The following Monday, we'll get everything all set up. Monday, our sound guy comes in and a lot of the voiceovers and setting up the donut that you do, all the intro and the news and uncovering the secrets, exposing the lies, the news break, blah, blah, blah. And we'll have all that done. Charles Goyette, we'll get him to do some more voiceovers. We'll have Michael Connor doing some. I'll do some. We'll have the Thursday, we'll get it all set up. And so we have plans for that because we just have a lot of the guys are going to be here in preparation of watching Dr. Paul kick the butt out of the other guy. And Rick Perry, you just know where this is going. These guys are just, it's like, seriously? Don't you guys even watch yourself after, you know, wow. I there's something else. It's like, you know what it's like? It's like quartzite. You know, seriously, you look at quartzite and you see, you're going, why do they really think they're getting away? What is protecting up the ladder? What is going on that they feel that they can say something stupid like that, get away with it, and then do stupid stuff? You know, on the national, international, whatever level, it's the same. Rick Perry, seriously, Mr. Bilderberger, Mr. We're going to force vaccination women. We're going to do, you know, little girls, and we're going to this, and we're going to that. We're going to, you know, force through this Texas corridor of, and we're, you know, I mean, just the tip of the iceberg. And I'm, this isn't going to come up. And then, of course, at Austin, here we have Alec Jones beating a snot at him, and you just sit back and be entertained by that. So I'm going, wow. So what we're going to do is we're going to try and concentrate this. You already, I got enough, man. I've done radio since, you know, February of 2003. I had thousands and thousands of hours of, let me tell you what I think. And I tell you, I'll pull out any, some people will say, Ernie, what, let me tell you, I'll give you a good example. There's a young man named Ross. He works at a power generation station that all of a sudden he starts having all these feds coming in. They're doing the, yeah, we're checking infrastructure and looking at in your software and this, that, and everything and getting you online so that they can control it remotely, Homeland Security kind of stuff. He's telling me about it. He's like, wow. And I said, InfraGuard. He's like, what? They call it whatever in Department of Homeland Security kind of thing. I said, in 2004, they started this thing. The FBI came out with this concept that you watch Die Hard, I don't know, 47, whichever one the last one was with Bruce Willis, that they are doing a fire sale. You know, they're shutting down all the systems. And what was the one thing they had to do at the end? They had to go to the power station in order to shut it down because they're autonomous from the grid. They weren't hooked in to the internet. They had to physically go to there, shut it down. Well, you know, the big bad guys, you know, they, them, those, they don't want to have to go do something. They just want one guy to push a button, man. So that's what they're doing. InfraGuard was a system that they started in 2004. It's voluntary, of course, to give backdoor access to all the software and computer access, internet access to all the control systems in utilities, the water, the phone, the, you know, the sewage system, the, you know, power grid, telephone, everything. Well, they had telephone a long time ago, but internet and so on. So I'm going, you know, it's called InfraGuard. You go back to my old archive, which we put up on, it's ErnestHancock.com/archive. And that was my old archive. So anything that I said, you know, 6-7 years ago, I stand by it because I haven't changed my philosophy. I get it. I've said, I mean, I had new information. I mean, I had, you know, new experiences, and we just reemphasize the same philosophy again, you know. But the thing is that, you know, I've been pretty much the same, just like a lot of you out there. You're the same. You know, you get it. You get new information. You have, you know, new, but you still want to be left alone. So, what's my shirt I'm wearing today? Yep. See, Liberty on Tour shirt. Da-da-da. Generation Next, man. You guys got it going on. Oh, yeah, we're working out a deal with them. We're going to be making another at least $2,500 to start. Or probably just, you got enough activists here. They're already eager to do it. 5,000 DVDs for them to start distributing in Manchester, saying hello. So we're, you know, Alma Summer, you know, a lot of you guys remember her, Pork Fest. She's just, you know, again, another article for the magazine, you know, kind of surprises that one. But she's doing all kinds of these QR codes, and we're getting a lot of stickers done and support of, and just a big project that we're going to be talking about. You'll still be able to access the information on freemansphoenix.com, and you'll still be able to click on the radio show every day. We have 5 minute in the morning, 5 minute in the afternoon editions that we make sure that everybody's up to speed on what's going on, and we'll concentrate it. So you don't have me up here yammering, blah, 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 which, you know, I enjoy doing. And so, you know, a couple of you might, you know, yeah, let them blather, but You know, I just want to get, I mean, we got to get rock and roll, man. There's a lot of stuff we got to do and a lot of news that I don't get to. When we go on to Freedom's Phoenix, I didn't even had time to even hardly look at it today. So when I go to Freedom's Phoenix and I pull up the homepage here, I could spend an entire day just on Freedom's Phoenix. Every single story. Bank of America is imploding. There is all kinds of negotiations going there. They are not going to get the political solution that they wanted. It's just, oh, let us robo-sign. We got Goldman Sachs for, you know, the second or third time. Oh, we pinky swear we're not going to robo-sign anymore. Oh, so you were, scumbags. You know, well, maybe not now. So foreclosure gate, robo-signing of mortgage documents found as far back as 1998. I mean, this whole thing is just really, really going. Regulators asked Bank of America about contingency plans. Contingency plans for what? Well, for there ain't going to be no mo, that's what. The more you look, the more bank criminality you find in mortgage land. Here we go. So, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And we need to be able to just go ahead and focus on the news that day, because we have in our archives, if you go to the archive in the top of the page up here, it says archives, and it has the fourth one down, says newsletter archives. Every one of our dispatches that we send out the morning and afternoon are right here. You click on one and you can get, we can go back to whatever day, and we could have the morning and afternoon edition of not only the newsletter, but also of our commentary on it. In 5 minutes, boom, I'm up to speed. I get it on the highlights of that day. So there's so many things that we, and with the digital magazine, we can focus on specific issues and get, you know, really good full length articles on this kind of stuff. So I'm really looking forward to do that. And Ian and Mark will tell you, man, you know, doing radio, you know, that's an enormous amount of work and preparation, the producing and just the time on it and the mental drain, you know, of doing this. So what we're going to do is we're going to consolidate it down. And on the top of the site, top left up here, you say magazine, radio, TV. Now, when you go to the radio and TV show list, you'll see it has, you know, the radio show, the video, and we also have video of the past Freedom Summits. When you click in to the radio show, the video show here, you have all the information. You got all the archives of past years. Now, the thing is that we're going to keep adding to this. And I may even open it up so it's not just subscribers, because there's a lot of the things that we're doing. Our traffic is really going up, and I know why. It's because we have over 150,000 entries over the past 6 years that chronicle all the stuff that's going on. When people start asking the right questions, they go, you know, what about this? And then, boom, all of a sudden, it's a Freedom's Phoenix, you know, freaking full page of this stuff. It's Freedom's Phoenix, Freedom's Phoenix, Freedom's Phoenix. You want to know about this? Here you go. Dick Cheney starts coming out with his book. Heck, man, I could have a whole Dick Cheney website. So this is, we're turning into another level of activism on this and maximizing the use of the internet, and Freedom's Phoenix is getting ready because I see the next wave. And hopefully, you know, we still keep our relationship with LRN.FM, because that is a powerful tool also. And we're going to be encouraging more shows and highlighting them.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
That's the last time I get to say that with y'all. Yep. Oh, yeah, where's that come from? Sesame Street. Yeah, we get to go through all this all again with grandchildren. You know, I like this grandchildren thing. You know, the article written by Brittany Schaefer, Jane Butler Schaefer's daughter, and And she looks like she's in her 20s, but she's in, you know, I think she's like 48. I mean, dang, seriously? Brittany, you're that old? Oh, my goodness. And what happened, she was a writer for the Wall Street Journal's Asian edition out of Hong Kong. So that tells you, you know, this girl's got skills. Now, she made the point of, you know, this whole thing about spanking your children and so on. And I don't think she, you know, oh, if you spank your children, you're bad and evil. She just kind of gave a perspective on, you know, what this means and how this respect authority and the might is right and force, and, you know, we could change inside our heads and so on. And then Stephen Molyneux kind of reinforced that with what he was talking about, you know, how people are affected at a young age and the kind of people that they become. And it's kind of like, it makes sense. You know, there's a lot of, you know, the way we are is the way we're raised. I mean, that's, you know, there's a lot of genetics, I think, go into it too. But I mean, you know, depending on raising generation next, that's what this issue is about. And, you know, the one observation that she made was, had an impact on me. Well, a lot of things that she wrote about. And I, as a grandfather, I have a do-over. I get another opportunity to go to my kids and say, look, you didn't like the spankage you got at this or that or so on. Well, let's try something else, because we have more time, more patience. You know, we can help. We didn't have, Donna and I didn't have the support and the help. And, you know, don't do that. You die, go in the street, not, here's a butt whipping. So, you know, what if we can, you know, kind of, you know, manage this a little bit better? What if we can, you know, I'm willing to try anything. And I just see that from a grandparent's perspective, you can really, this multiple generation of raising children, and a lot of people are experiencing this because of the economics, that's really impacting them, multi-generational homes. You can see how the country and the social and economic engineering with, you know, the IRS. I mean, as simple as that. You got to have the woman out in the workforce just to freaking pay for the taxes. What if your ultimate goal is to have a parent home with the children? You know, I mean, we're willing to help ours. What's your goal? I mean, we're just here so that, you know, you get free babysitters so you can go buy more toys and both work. Or are we helping make sure that we're getting to a point to where one of you gets to stay home? I mean, you know, that, you know, so these kinds of things, raising generation next, I can see the future, and it's very, very, very bright, but we got to go through some darkness. And we've been talking about this for a long time. In this last segment, I just want to make sure that you understand I'm very optimistic, very, 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 very optimistic. And I've traveled all over this country and met with people on not just, you know, different strata of socioeconomic, you know, or, you know, gender and race and sexual orientation, blah, 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 blah. That really doesn't mean anything to me. What does is your outlook of how the individual next to you, what value do they have, you know, in your mind to just be left alone to do what they want? How insistent are you to, you know, insist that they leave you alone? And do you really have to overwhelm them, you know, force your ideology or even your freedom-oriented thinking on them, or be a light, be an example, be part of the love-evolution? Because bad guys, they don't like that. They want you, you know, being a force to be reckoned with so they can reckon with you and get paid to do it. So I'm very happy that the love-evolution took off as well as it did, and nobody's in control. Excuse me. Nobody's in charge. Nobody directs. Nobody, you know, represents the every gazillions of individuals doing whatever they want. But there, it's also just as encouraging that you have, you know, an older generation in the form of Dr. Paul in mid-70s up there advocating for this as part of an older philosophy. It's been around, you know, long enough. I mean, freedom's relatively new. And if you look in history, and a whole lot of times, you know, as civilization grew, that there wasn't always somebody saying they in charge. Now, this new concept of freedom, how about I get in be in charge of me? And they're like, no, don't we got a book here somewhere that says Bible says you can't. You know, we got some laws that say you can't. We got some doctrine of the family say you can't. We got some king that says you can't. We got something written down somewhere that says you can't. You know, and they're going, yeah, you're confusing me with someone that cares. I own myself. This simple concept, which is why we expanded, you know, really did this just really as an example and to have an impact in Arabia. When we did that, I knew, man, boom. Yep, neon freaking what I'm talking about. And that kind of inspired me to go ahead and refocus here in Arizona. We're going to go ahead and be an inspiration here. We're just as bad or worse anywhere else. Our debt per capita is the worst in the nation here, right here in Arizona. Small little state. We got more rocks in our backpack when we get born here than anywhere else. Now, here's your debt. Got it on you? So we're going to go ahead and start focusing here. Not in politics, not up here. The revolution between the ears, in the mind. We have a lot of resources. We got Cop Block and their efforts here. We got 4409. We got Freedom's Phoenix. We got the e-zine. We got the radio show. We got the podcasting abilities. We got, you know, we're fine. We just want to be an inspiration and a tool for everyone else. And we're going to do that because we can and we need to. We have to. It's inspiration. You don't got to do it. You just got to show how it's to be, can be done, and let everybody else do it. You know, I'm really inspired by what's going on around the country and what's been done in New Hampshire. Porkfest was a fantastic example. Free Keene and the efforts there. They had the Free State Project has even, you know, sparked a lot of things. I'm not about, you know, worrying about getting elected or anything. So this is, and from that comes a lot of efforts, like Chuck Baldwin goes to Montana with the mindset that he should and even can have an impact on an international basis when you got a candidate for governorship of a state that says, sits his chest out and says, you know, me and my congregation and Bible and the faith of and God's on our side, and no. All right, you know, I vote they try, you know, if I got to vote. So I'm feeling really, really confident about the future, but you have to survive what's coming. I know what's going to be. I know. I mean, just today on Freedom's Phoenix, I mean, I can't even, you know, go to the page and do the show because I'd be all day on just one thing. One of the columnists here, he's a columnist for the local, for Arizona Republic. I don't know if he still does. He was a columnist for them and an author, and he posted Freedom's Phoenix, Macon's Ghost. Now, what he does, he said, Hurricane Fannie Mae destroyed more homes than Katrina and Irene. Now, Roy Miller, the gentleman that was co-chair of Ron Paul's state campaign here in 08, he wrote a letter to the editor, and I think he sent this to the Wall Street Journal. And we put this up, and he was listening to National Public Radio. And so, I mean, there's you know, a lot of commentary. But what he was talking about was, can Hurricane Irene actually be good for us? I mean, there's people out there making that kind of, oh, it's going to put people to work. It's like, let's go bust all the windows. Frederick Bastiat idea. Okay. Larkin, you know, has a good article up. Then we have Pastor Greg Dixon. He was a Baltimore church that the IRS bulldozed. They bulldozed it. Now, Chuck's saying, well, you don't want to be a 501c3. Pastor Dixon came to Arizona at the Breakfast Club and said, look, they don't care. They say you're a church because you met and you're a church under whatever, and we can do what we want anyway, whether you're 501 or not. Okay, good thing to know. The ACLU sues Baltimore police for deleting videos off a cell phone. So, I mean, the fact that they even got a suit, you know, and like I care what a judge says anyway. You know, I just don't care. Goldman Sachs and two other firms agree to end robo-signing. Goldman Sachs and two other firms have agreed with a New York banking regulator to end the practice known as robo-signing, blah, 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 blah. So I guess now they're admitting they were. You know, this is, it's going down, it's going fast. Gold and silver is going to be taking a, you know, leap. I know that sooner or later. Stock market's sitting there going up and down, left and right, even today. So I my whole message to anyone out there, I've been through this before. You know, it was savings and loans in the early 90s. I mean, this is worse than anything I've ever been through and throughout history. And I've seen the patterns going up and down and so on. But we're in a different stage now. And it's because of you. You have access to information. You know how to do it. Take it home. Think globally, act locally. We're getting local. And we're going to be an inspiration. You watch. Out of Phoenix, Freedom's Phoenix, we're going to kick us some ass. Woo! And have fun doing it. Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readers of freedomsphoenix.com get every day. Readers of freedomsphoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured. Tour.